Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Welcome to the Side Action, episode 53. This is Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow the podcast at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So, Action, how was the weekend? Did you have any big bets? I know you were making some short ribs.
Yeah, I did make some short ribs. One little note, it is episode 54. I'll take the blame for that. Nah, I didn't update the sheet properly. So
you know he's going to read what's on the teleprompter.
One step ahead of you, Ron Burgundy.
Episode 53?
No, I had a great weekend in the sports book world. Very relaxing. I just hung out around the house, got some errands done, went to the Royal Oak Market on Saturday morning. We picked up some good vegetables and short rib for a crock pot weekend. And really had an epic day. College basketball Saturday and college football really kind of turned it around for me. And then NFL was just killing it on Sunday. So made some units back, which were definitely needed after the weekend in Vegas the week before. How about yourself?
I laid off. I had a couple of bets. Lost them all. I did Detroit. Of course, they lost outright. And then I did a teaser. I haven't done a teaser all season. I thought I had a good teaser going with Denver against Buffalo. Of course, that was a blowout. Mm-hmm. And then also the Saints against the Carolina. So all legs of the teaser did not pay off. So
0 for 0.
0.0, but that's okay. I mean, it's just been one of those seasons for me, and I'll keep plugging away. I already have some college bets in. I've done more research this week. Last week was kind of crazy, as we talked about. So feel better about this week and some huge college football matchups, and then the NFL. It's just heating up, you know.
Yeah. I forgot to add, too, we did go down on Sunday afternoon to the MGM Detroit here. They opened up a new sports lounge. They're calling it a sports bar called Moneyline, and they've got huge TVs. It's basically like a sports book, except it's not open for wagering yet. They even have the little ticket windows. So they are going to be ready to rock and roll as soon as Michigan legalizes sports gambling here.
Where is Michigan in the process?
Last I read, I believe that it's expected to be passed in 2020. In terms of the time frame, I'm not exactly sure.
Good. Well, you just got to maybe build up some cred before you start giving them the units.
That's right.
When they start opening up, right? Okay, let's go over the episode really quickly. It's pretty similar to last week. College football recap and metrics and picks. And then we are highlighting the NCAA basketball with the Action Power Ratings each week, which is exciting. And then you have a little preview on some of these conference or these turkey tournaments, these Thanksgiving tournaments. And then we'll jump into the NFL. Looks like we'll just cover the Wegs Index this week and then jump into the circus spots. We have one more shot, Action, to win some cash the last quarter, which is 5 games instead of 4. And then the index picks. So should be a pretty quick episode, but you know, we always like to talk.
Of course, I'm sure it won't be quick.
Well, let's go over college football. First of all, Hoosiers let us down, man. It's the first time in weeks. And they were right there in the first half, but second half, Michigan rolled them. Indiana was getting 10 points at home, but unfortunately, the Wolverines looked game and they got it done.
Yeah, Shea Patterson was on point again. I think 4 or 5 more touchdown passes on Saturday. And they were just shredding that Indiana secondary all season long. We've touted their great offense for the Hoosiers, but that defense has been a little bit weak, and they certainly let in plenty of points for Michigan on Saturday.
Right. But your other pick was hit, Arizona State. They actually were 14-point underdogs at home against Oregon, and they won outright. That was huge game when it comes to, you know, the power balance in college football, knocking Oregon out of the playoffs and potentially knocking Utah out, because that loss is really hurts Oregon and their strength of schedule, I guess, you know, when they face against Utah. And the Fighting Herms got it done in that game, didn't they?
Yeah, Arizona State pulled off a huge upset in Tempe. And like we talked about last week, Oregon always struggles when they visit Tempe, and they really took it to them. It must be said that they were leading throughout the game and were in command. And a remarkable fourth quarter where the teams combined to score 39 points, to push the game over the total. But Arizona State pulled it out 31-28.
That's right. So huge win for that program, and they'll face off against Arizona this week. But that was kind of the signature win of the season there.
Mm-hmm.
As we roll into the SP Plus rankings, not a lot of change here from what I can see. You've got Ohio State at the top, of course, at 36.2, just almost 4 points over the next team. Alabama, 32.6. LSU is 29.9. Clemson at 4 now at 28.8. Then Georgia, 27.7. It's kind of weird how these numbers are all parallel like that. Oklahoma's 25.7. Penn State's still hanging in there at 24.1. Utah, 23.9. Florida is 9 at 22.8. And Michigan creeping back in at 22.7. Man, they're catching fire late. So any surprises in this top 10?
No, not really. You know, there's a couple of teams that probably don't really belong. I think that Florida has been unimpressive, at least for me lately. And also, I've been underimpressed by Oklahoma. Played a couple of close games the last few weeks, and it doesn't seem like to me that they belong in that spot either.
Yeah, I mean, they're resting on their number one defense or offense, but their defense is in this listing 41st. I mean, they don't play defense in the special teams, but they put up some points, obviously, every week, and they still can win the Big 12.
That's true.
We've got some injuries as well. Baylor quarterback Charlie Brewer left the game against Texas with an ankle injury, and then he's expected to play, though, you think, this week against Kansas?
Yeah, that was the initial indication that Coach Matt Rhule came out and said, but definitely something that I'm going to be watching before I even think about laying the two touchdowns with Baylor.
Exactly. Now, Baylor has to win the game to play in the title game, right?
Correct.
Are they okay if they lose?
You know, to be honest with you, I'm not sure. I think that there is one, at least one team nipping at their heels for that spot in the title game.
Right. So, I mean, they still have to win that game, so we'll see how it goes. And then you got Penn State, Sean Clifford. He left the game against Ohio State, and it looks like he was available to come back, but they stayed with the other guy in this one.
Yeah, really interesting that they didn't put Clifford back in, but it sounds like Franklin opted to go with the backup quarterback, Levis, who was 100%. So, close game with Ohio State. They probably could have gotten back into it, but in the end, the Buckeyes pulled out the victory.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the game. The first half, you know, Buckeyes were up, what, 21-0 at halftime or something.
Right.
It was, they were dominating that game, but they did make it a little bit of a game later. But let's face it, Ohio State's, to me, they're the team to beat. I know LSU's, everybody's on them, but they're a really complete football team. We'll see what happens come Michigan game.
And Penn State plays Rutgers this weekend, so not really sure they need Clifford under center anyway.
You could put a young Steve Roberts back there today, this week, when, man, Rutgers sucks.
Yeah.
So what spots do you like this week in week 14, which is effectively the last week of the season? There's a couple games left, right? But most regular seasons, is it this the last week? I think I asked you this last week.
Yes, this is the last weekend for most of the regular season. I believe Army and Navy still plays afterwards. And then obviously you have the conference championship games, which would be the following weekend. So
it looks like you like Virginia Tech at Virginia. Virginia Tech's a 2.5-point favorite on the road. Initially, I identified this game as well. For some reason, Virginia Tech played like crap early in the season, but they're really coming on. Is that your handicap in this game?
Yeah, it all comes down to their new quarterback, under center, freshman Herndon, I believe is the name. And the last 3 weeks, he's been playing at quarterback and has really changed this team on offense. They're playing a lot better. And they also have had Virginia's number year in and year out. And when you add into that, this is going to be Bud Foster, the defensive coordinator's last game in charge of Virginia Tech. And I think they're going to get up for this one and should win the game on the road to have the opportunity to go to the ACC championship and get destroyed by Clemson.
And be completely manhandled. But hey, I mean, that's going to happen in the ACC championship regardless. But no, Virginia Tech has turned their season around. I mean, it's one of those things that, maybe next year as a freshman quarterback, I mean, this could be a team to watch out for. Lawrence still comes back for Clemson, but, you know, they could certainly make some noise in the ACC, which is not that great.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, good stepping stone into next season, no doubt about that.
You've got Notre Dame going to Stanford. Notre Dame's a 16-point favorite on the road. Why do you like the Irish?
Well, I think this is just a home run spot for Notre Dame. It's really more mm-hmm. of a fade of Stanford, though. They've just been playing very poorly all season long, and I think that this is a game where Brian Kelly and the Irish are going to come out to make a statement and show that they still belong on the national landscape and propel them into a good college bowl game.
Gotcha. I'm not against that. It's just a big number. I mean, Stanford does stink, so I can see that going that way. I'm looking at a bunch of games, as I usually do. Mm-hmm. I've got Texas A&M is going to LSU. LSU is the darlings of everybody and, you know, the playoff system, but they are laying 17 points here. And A&M, it's been kind of my moniker late in the season that A&M has played just this crazy schedule and hung in there. They don't win against these big teams, but they can stay within 17 points, in my view, against LSU. So that's my take, and ICSP Plus would have it more like a 15-point game. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that you're looking at the right side of the number there with 17. And this is certainly a big game for A&M. And if you remember, every year they play them tough. And having said all that, I think that LSU will may likely look to take their foot off the gas, especially late in this one, because they really don't need to put Texas A&M to the burial before they go into that SEC championship against Georgia likely next weekend. So I think right. that there's a good chance of a backdoor cover here.
Yeah, they got to get there healthy against Georgia for sure. So I like that one. Another one of our teams, or my teams anyway, this year, Memphis is hosting Cincinnati. They're 10-point favorites at home. I know you always say, look at the run defenses, Wegs, because mm-hmm. Cincinnati's tough. But I still like this game. SP Plus has it at 14. So I am thinking about taking Memphis with the 10, or laying the 10. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I thought this line was kind of curious. 10 points seems like a lot for a good Cincinnati team. But I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that Cincinnati has already locked up their ticket to the AAC Conference Championship game. So a lot of folks may be thinking that they are not going to be playing hard in this one and that they may mail it in. So I think that's probably built into the line here. I do think 10 is a little bit too much for me, though. I'm probably going to be passing on this one.
So are they going to play Memphis again then in the AAC Championship?
No, I think it's UCF in the other side, but I'm not sure about that.
Okay, let me double check, because Memphis only lost one game, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I mean, they're tied with Navy. UCF is on the side with Cincinnati, so Memphis has to win to basically play them again in the championship. So that is an interesting take that Cincinnati might just lay down, and then Memphis are going to play them next week anyway. So interesting. The next game I have is Washington State at Washington. Washington's a 6.5-point favorite at home. My main handicap here, besides the SP Plus showing it at 8.5, is Washington's disappointed all season for the most part, but they always seem to have, you know, the Cougs number. Even last year when the Cougs were flying high with, what's his name?
Minshew. What's his name? Minshew Magic.
Minshew, right. With Minshew, Washington was still able to beat him. And so I just like Chris Peterson in this matchup. He seems to always have Mike Leach's number. So what do you think?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I don't know much about this one. I can tell you that Washington has been pretty poor against the spread this season. And you are getting a little bit of value here by locking this in under the full touchdown. But me personally, I'm going to stay away from this one. It is a big game, though. The Apple Cup, always a huge rivalry game. And if you remember last year, I think they played in that snowstorm and Washington ended up beating them pretty handily because Minshew couldn't really air it out like he had in weeks prior.
Yeah, he couldn't sling it. I see on BetOnline it's up to 7.5, so it looks like I might have missed that number, but I didn't actually lock that in, unfortunately.
If you got a Square Bovada account, you can find a 6.5 still.
Ooh, all right. You got to have multiple outs out here, fellas. all right, the next one, we'll save that one for last because that's a big one. Let's go Indiana again. Indiana is a 6.5-point favorite at your Boilers. We talked a little bit about how, you know, Shea Patterson lit them up in the second half. We know Purdue can sling it a little bit, but 6.5 is still kind of a small number for this Indiana team unless there's injuries. SP Plus has it at 11.5. Would you jump on board with the Hoosiers.
Yeah, definitely. This is another one that I was eyeing already this week. Although it looks like the line has ticked back down a little bit. It touched 7 for the past couple of hours here and now down 6.5 across the board. So interesting to see that some sharp bettors are grabbing the 7 points with the Boilermakers. But I agree. Mm-hmm. I think that Indiana's offense is going to be too much for Purdue. And you also look at the weather that's expected in West Lafayette this weekend is going to be a bit rainy and cold, which should have some impact on both passing games. However, Indiana has the ability to run the ball and Purdue does not. They rank near the bottom of D1 in their rushing attack. So could be a major factor in this one.
Gotcha. Well, let's stick in the Big Ten and move to the Wisconsin, the basically Big Ten West game. Wisconsin at Minnesota. Minnesota is actually getting 2.5 points at home. And I don't know, what's your take on this game before I go into my little thing?
I definitely like Minnesota as a side, without a doubt. I think this is the game for them. Obviously, they need to win it to go to the conference championship and play Ohio State. But if you recall, they went into Madison last year and whipped up the Badgers. So I think they have a matchup advantage here. And they looked good last week at Northwestern in a flat spot, which was mighty impressive. I personally am going to stay away from this one just because I have so much value with them on the Minnesota futures ticket. But I definitely think I would be on the Minnesota side. What do you think?
Yep. Well, that was, yeah, I'd be all over Minnesota. That was my other question. Are you going to hedge the game? So you're just going to stay away at this point?
I may look to jump in live, perhaps, if Minnesota jumps out to a pretty hefty lead. I could get a number down. But the problem is at 20-1 for the Big Ten championship, I don't have too much wiggle room because I still have to come back and hedge against Ohio State, which is going to be a pretty large number, I imagine.
Of course. Yeah, I mean, I'm all over Minnesota here. I think it's just their year. And I think this is the time Wisconsin was rolling early in the season. They seemed to kind of get mucked up in the heart of the season. Minnesota had their stumble at Iowa, but I just think that they're going to be at home. They're going to be rocking. This is their chance to make an even bigger statement than when they beat Penn State, I guess it was. So I think this will be a big game, and getting points at home is always a great thing.
Yeah, no doubt about that, especially against one of your main rivals.
Exactly. Well, let's do the two big boys. The first one, I guess we'll do the Iron Bowl. Alabama is at Auburn this year. Auburn is getting 3.5 points at home. And, you know, it's an interesting situation. They've got, was it Mac Jones? Is that the quarterback backup? So Alabama has the backup quarterback with 2 out for the year. He looked great against Western Carolina, but who wouldn't? There's a lot of pundits talking about this game, saying that Alabama has the receivers to play against this Auburn defense. And I know that I'm probably a square for jumping on the Auburn bandwagon, but I kind of feel like Auburn's going to win this game outright. I don't know. What do you think?
It's definitely a difficult spot for Alabama. Although with a few of the losses in the Pac-12, especially by Oregon, it does reopen the door for their playoff chances a little bit.
Sure.
Presuming that LSU goes on to win the SEC championship over Georgia. But I do agree. I think that there's some value here on the home underdog. And even with that freshman quarterback, Bo Nix, he has played pretty well this season in some big games. And there's none bigger than this one, the Iron Bowl against Alabama. But I do think that on the other side, Mac Jones has actually been pretty good in his few spot performances. And I think that's why you probably see this number here at 3.5. I do think that the injury and the drop-off from Tua to Mac Jones is priced into this line pretty appropriately.
Yeah, that's kind of what I put in my comments. You know, I haven't bet it yet, but I'm looking at it. I'm like, maybe that's just perfectly priced, right? I mean, it's a team that Alabama still has the talent to beat Auburn. And even though Auburn's defense is really good, they'll keep it close. But can they score on Alabama's defense? I don't know, you know. So we'll see. I would love to see it go up a little bit more in my favor. But I don't know. We'll see how it goes. And then the last game, of course, is – I don't know. I think the biggest game of the weekend, I mean, just because Ohio State is riding high, you know, they're looking like the juggernaut to win the title. And Michigan, look, last year we talked about this. I backed the Khakis all season, and then they just crapped themselves against Ohio State, giving up all those points, you know, when they had the top defense. And it seems like Michigan's turned their season around. They kind of looked terrible early in the season. In the last 4 or 5 games, they've really played well. So 9 points favored at Michigan. SP Plus says it's supposed to be 10.5, so maybe it's already priced in the way Michigan's playing, but what's your take in this game?
So are you telling me you're leaning towards the Michigan side?
I am.
Oh, wow.
But I don't want to because I already have a ticket on Ohio State to win the title.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I jumped in on that as well, but I think Ohio State's the play here. Anything under 10, yeah. I'm going to be looking to take. I'm hoping that there's some sharp money that comes in on Michigan or money in general that pushes this down closer to 8.
Right.
I do think that Ohio State is a far better football team. And although Michigan has been playing a lot better lately, I just don't see how this Michigan offense is going to be able to do anything against the Ohio State defense. They're ranked number one pretty much across the board in opponent yards per game, opponent yards per play, rushing defense, passing defense. This Ohio State defense is elite, and I'm not sure that even the new look Shea Patterson is going to be able to move it on them. So I expect that Ohio State will cover this number.
And they probably will. I mean, they're definitely the best in the country. We've seen it in the metrics. We've seen it on the field. They're incredible. It's just maybe one time, one slip up, you know? I mean, the khakis have done nothing except for dash hopes and have a great commercial about keeping wrinkles out of the khakis.
Yeah.
So
it's really too bad for Michigan. This game is at noon again, like always. I realize it's a tradition, but I think that I would probably give them another 2 or 3 points boost if this one were moved under the lights at nighttime.
Yeah, no, agreed. Agreed. It's a noon game, huh?
Yep. Boy. Always is.
What do you think? Weird. Thank you, Big Ten. Okay, well, let's move on to the NCAA hoops and specifically the action power ratings. Why don't you go over the power ratings this week for college basketball?
Yeah, not a ton of movement at the top. You've got Duke at number one, followed by Michigan State, Gonzaga, and Louisville, 2 through 4. Although Michigan State did lose to Virginia Tech yesterday in Maui.
I saw that.
Updated since then. But North Carolina's at 5, Kentucky 6, Ohio State 7, Virginia Cavaliers 8, Maryland, the Big Ten debutante here in the top 10, and then Texas Tech at 10. So a few shakeups there towards the bottom, namely with Maryland jumping in and Purdue dropped out. But for the most part, some of the same players that we'll probably be seeing up here all year long.
Hey, just to jump in, I'm just looking at Bet Online. I see Ohio State, Michigan at 7 o'clock, buddy.
Really?
Yeah.
No way. I don't think so.
Those stupid people from Antigua lying to me. I'm just checking. Let me check.
Nah, I'm looking in the Action.
No, you're right.
The Action Network app. Noon.
That's so funny. That's funny. Sorry, everybody. You're right. It says 11 on the CBS app, but in Bet Online, it shows it at 7 p.m. That's really weird. Okay.
It might be 7 p.m. in Paris. Or.
Exactly. Actually, I was going to comment about Virginia Tech. This team, you know, they were waxing poetic about the Michigan State win last night. And, you know, first of all, they're undefeated, you know, Virginia Tech. And the Wofford coach, I guess he's really coaching this team up. They look really good. So we'll see how that impacts the Action power ratings later. But it might be a team that we totally underestimated in the preseason.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I would say that every odds maker and bettor across America underestimated them because they were way down, even in our preview. We didn't have much to say about them. But they have a big game in Maui tonight against Dayton, and I'm interested to see how that one fares. It looks like there's been a big line move against the Hokies. It's now from +1 out to +4. So we'll be interested to see how they play in their game 2 in Maui.
Interesting. Well, they definitely space the floor from what I can see, and they've got guys who can shoot like the, you know, his Wofford team. So we'll see how it goes. And then you were going to comment on the neutral court tournaments and kind of your general take on it.
Yeah, I think I mention this every year. It's a PSA for you bettors out there. But this week really starts in earnest. All of these Feast Week tournaments and the neutral court venues from Maui Invitational on down to the Bahamas. I think there's one in Riviera Maya, Mexico.
And yeah, Battle for Atlantis.
Estero, Florida. But my favorite one in particular is that ballroom in Atlantis where they set up with the sight lines that are really impossible. It's dark in there. The roof is really low from what I can tell. And historically, year over year, it's a dead lock for unders. So
right.
I've already targeted four tomorrow, which start off the day at noon Eastern time. Michigan and Iowa State kick it off, and I'm going to be playing pretty much every game in the Bahamas under first half and full game.
That's right. And it should be noted that I think you mentioned Virginia under last episode, and that hit, from what I remember.
Yeah, they're now 5-1 to the under, the Virginia Cavaliers this season. So pretty much a blind play there. They're also on the schedule tomorrow. They've got a big one against Maine.
Ooh, Maine. You know, Bears, Maine Black Bears. That's nice.
And a couple more on Thanksgiving, too. I like how the calendar plays out. There's a few of those tournaments that pick back up and play games on Thursday as well. So get you some feast college basketball along with your NFL football.
Yeah, there's three NFL football games. You got some college basketball. Is there a college football game? That's just on Friday.
Huh? Don't think there's a game on Thursday.
Yeah, it's just Fridays, yeah. But it's Thanksgiving weekend has tons of sports for everybody, that's for sure. Okay, well, let's jump into the NFL. And we've got our normal recap of how things are going, and underdogs are still making it happen. You've got it at 55.3%, 94-76-5 against the spread. They were just ahead of the favorites last week at 7-6-1. But you did have some upsets in that one just outright, didn't you?
Yeah, the Jets, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Washington, all big underdog upsets. And Washington especially burned us as we were on Detroit. And then yes, a few underdog covers as well, the Colts, Giants, Carolina Panthers also burned us, and the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, the Cowboys. Well, you know, they covered, but whatever.
Yeah.
Bad field goal kicking.
Yeah, definitely a poor decision by Jason Garrett to kick that field goal late. I actually put in a late bet on the New England Patriots and thought they would march back down the field and kick one of their own to go back up 7, but it didn't happen.
Right. Yeah, Nick Foles can't make a field goal, though. So I think you've also got the road teams are still destroying it against the spread, 94-72-5. So that's also like 56.6%. That's a huge clip.
Yeah, another profitable week for road teams as well, going 7-6-1 against the spread. So it's definitely a bizarre year. Be interested to see how that compares with years prior. I don't imagine that road teams typically fare that well, ATS.
No, I wouldn't think so, ATS, for sure. So we'll skip the net yards per play this week and go to the WEGS index. Not huge surprises here. 49ers obviously destroyed Green Bay on Sunday night. So they stay at the top. They're 3.5. But you've got the Ravens, which makes sense. They've played incredible football, destroying the Rams last night. And they're at 4.0, so they're right behind them. And those two teams face off this week. The Patriots, 4.5. The Cowboys at 7.3, Vikings 8.3, and then the Saints rounded out at 9.3 for the sixth place there. So some of the better teams are rising to the top here. I don't know about you, Action, but the Ravens look pretty friggin' incredible.
I know. I really don't want to jump to conclusions, though, but I think that this Baltimore team is playing high-flying football right now. It makes you wonder if they're peaking a little bit too early.
You know, I agree with you to an extent. Their schedule actually lines up like that, too, because they have to play the 49ers this week. I think they still play the Steelers and the Browns, but they've kind of gotten all their marquee games out of the way. So they could get a little rusty down the stretch. Yeah. And you got to figure, depending on what New England does, they may not even be playing for the number one seed down the stretch, because the other teams in the conference aren't really that close to New England and Baltimore. So it'll be interesting how it plays out the next few weeks. I'll be writing about that on wegspool.com, just what I think is going to happen in the playoffs. But, man, that team's playing really well. They're really playing fun, too. It's kind of nice to fun to see them play, you know?
Yeah, they certainly destroyed every single bookmaker's bottom line yesterday, as well as my pocketbook. So.
Right, right. And the guy with the circuit contest, you know, he came in with that, too. So, okay, well, let's go over our spots. I mean, this week's kind of unique. We're going to lose three games right off the bat unless we decide to make picks on Thanksgiving. We've got the Bears going to Detroit, you know, the perennial matchups where Detroit hosts somebody, and the Bears have played there plenty, you know, for the turducken or whatever the hell they do on one of those stations. So the Bears are 3-point favorites on the road. I'm actually on the Bears on this one. Detroit, That defense sucks, man. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, and pretty serious line move against the Detroit Lions this week. Also probably coupled with Jeff Driscoll's now injury status. Aaron reports that he's questionable with a hamstring. So I can't even tell you who the backup quarterback is, but whoever it is not somebody I want to be betting on. But you really think you want to go to the window with Mitchell Trubisky?
God, I don't know, but he's bad. But they can always go to Chase Daniel, or they can just win with the defense, because I just don't think Detroit, like, I'm obviously they let us down pretty badly against Washington, but it's more that every week they're dropping in the defensive metrics. Mm-hmm. I mean, this team is just abysmal. They're almost giving up 400 yards a game now. And I mean, they made Dwayne Haskins look good. So Mitchell played good against him at home a couple weeks ago. So
yeah,
we'll see. I haven't put down the bet yet.
Yeah, I have no faith in that. In fact, I am going to be betting this game under without a doubt. I took 39. Mm-hmm. It looks like there's 38.5 now across the board, but I don't see how these two offenses are going to combine for that many points this weekend or this Thursday. Right.
The next game is Dallas, and also the perennial. They're hosting Buffalo this week. Buffalo are 7-point dogs on the road, and obviously Dallas is kind of licking their wounds. They're 6-5, still leading the division, but they can't win against the big boys when they play better teams. So Buffalo probably doesn't qualify as one of those better teams, but I don't know what to expect out of this team, meaning Dallas. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be against going with Buffalo with the 7 points, but what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely lean to that side as well in this one. I think that Buffalo has been playing okay. I mean, their offense is pretty far down. When you look at the DVOA metrics, they're ranked 21st on offense. And Dallas, as you note in your rankings, is very high, number 2 offensively. And that Buffalo defense has kind of stepped downwards as well. They're now 9th ranked on defense. So not uber impressive, which we thought they were early in the season. I do think that the 7 is key in this one. I'm not sure that I like it enough to put in our picks on Thursday, though.
Sure. Oh, I hear you. Yeah, it would be great to get up to 7.5 or something, but likely. So it's interesting with the circuit contest. I actually don't know. Do you think they're going to come out with the lines tomorrow?
They are, yeah. I heard an interview with Mike Palm last week where he indicated they're going to put them out on Wednesday this week.
Okay, makes sense. We'll check for him tomorrow. Mm-hmm. The last game on the Thursday slate is New Orleans is going to Atlanta. Atlanta came up and bit them in the dome, in the Superdome, surprisingly, a couple weeks ago. But Atlanta took a huge step back last week. I'm not sure that magic of 2 weeks in a row where they were playing great just disappeared against the Buccaneers. The Saints are now 7-point favorites on the road. What are your thoughts on this game?
Man, I just can't figure out the Saints team. I think I lose on them every week, one side or the other. I just can't get them right. I got to think that they're going to bounce back and beat Atlanta this time, especially after what happened in the Superdome 2 weeks ago. But I don't know if I can put my money on it, to be honest with you. How do you feel?
I don't think I can do it either. I was really kind of shocked at how poorly the Saints played against Carolina in the second half last week. They were up by as many as 13, 14 points at different points of that game. And for all accounts, Carolina should have won the game. I mean, they were inside the red zone in the last couple minutes, and they basically didn't get it in the end zone, and then they missed the field goal, giving Breeze the chance to go down and win. But, I mean, 31 points against Carolina with Kyle Allen, who's just turning the ball over a lot lately, it was kind of surprising. So it seems like the Saints have taken a step back on defense. But I don't know, man. That's just a stay away right now. 7 points on the road in a divisional game, even though Atlanta sucked last week. Yeah, it's just a stay away from me.
Yeah, that's true. You're probably right. It's an automatic take with a lot of the sharp bettors out there. I imagine there's going to be a lot of professional money on Atlanta plus 7 at home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. The next game, we move up to Sunday now. The next game is your Colts. They're hosting the Tennessee Titans. They're 2.5-point favorites at home. Now, interesting situation. The Titans haven't beaten Indy in like a decade. But yeah, I'm all over the Titans here. I don't know. So what? Explain to me how the Colts are going to win this game.
I knew you would be. I am too, though, actually. I think that this Tennessee Titans team is on a roll. Now 4-1 with Tannehill as the starter.
Yeah.
It's clearly a different football team, and Derrick Henry is running like a man possessed. And I'm not sure that this Colts offense is going to be able to do much on that side of the ball either. Marlon Mack is still banged up. I don't expect he's going to play. And although the backup running back, Jonathan Williams, has ran very well behind that stout offensive line, I do think that Tennessee has the edge here. And I would really love to see a three come up in the contest, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, me too. It's probably going to be 2.5. It's sitting squarely at 2.5 on BetOnline at -110. They're just begging you to take it. I don't know, man, but it's clearly, to me, you know, the Titans are the better team. I just don't know if they're going to win this game. And it's a critical game in the AFC playoff picture, not just in the division. Yeah. I do think the Texans are going to end up winning the division here. I've looked at the schedules already, but Indy can definitely make the playoffs if they win this game. So if they don't, maybe not going to miss out 100%, but it opens the door for a team like Cleveland to come up, actually, given the schedule. So the Titans have a kind of a murderer's row left. Unfortunately, they have to win this game if they're going to have a chance at the playoffs. They still have a lot of other tough teams on the schedule from what I've seen. So it's going to be a bit of a grudge match. I don't expect it to be high scoring, but, you know, should be an interesting game.
Yeah, if you remember back in way back in week two, Indianapolis beat Tennessee at home this time. I'm sorry, it was on the road in Tennessee by 2 points. So these teams always play it close. And if you're catching 2.5 or 3, I think, especially in this division, you're usually on the right side with the underdog.
That's right. The next game is Carolina. They are 10-point favorites against Washington. Washington got a win, got another win. Thank you. Dwayne Haskins, did you hear what he did? They get the field goal or whatever. And he wasn't even there for the kneel down because he was taking a selfie with the crowd. This guy's a total idiot.
Can you imagine what the team meeting was like on Monday?
Unbelievable. Wow. This guy's a complete moron. But Carolina's been reeling. They're playing like crap. They're kind of regressing to the mean. You know, with Rivera probably going to lose his job this year, as I predicted at the beginning of the season. 10's just a big number. I mean, I think Carolina's going to win the game, but I can't back Carolina with 10 points. Can you?
Man, I don't know. I don't think so. But I also don't think I want to go to the window with Washington plus 10. So for me, it's going to be a pass. I have no interest in betting on Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, Dwayne Haskins is whatever. The next game is a very intriguing game. Cleveland against Pittsburgh. Obviously, this is kind of the grudge match that happened a couple weeks ago with the Mason Rudolph thing. He's out. He's not going to play. Your guy, Duck Hodges, is that his name?
You got it. Spot on.
Do you have his jersey already?
No, I don't wear jerseys.
Duck Hodges is starting for Pittsburgh. They are 1-point dogs at home. Really interesting game. Cleveland actually, as bad as they played early in the season, they're kind of catching fire now. They won a couple games in a row. I actually kind of foresee them, if they win this game, making the playoffs action. It's kind of a weird, but their schedule is dog shit. I mean, it is easy as hell. They got through all their tough games early, so it's a huge game for Cleveland, and they seem to be getting right on offense somehow. Steelers' defense is really good, but if in a pick 'em situation, given Duck Hodges, sorry, buddy, I think you got to go Cleveland here.
Oh, man, I think I am liking Pittsburgh in this one, especially with Duck under the center. The only two games he's played in this year, the offense has been so much better with him. They won that game on the road against the LA Chargers back in week 6. And then last week they did, I think it was ultimately a push against the spread, closed at 6. But I do think that Pittsburgh is going to be extra motivated in this one, and you got to figure this one is going to be like their Super Bowl. So I could see your argument that Cleveland is playing a lot better and that offense has been performing at a very high level. But on the flip side, this Pittsburgh defense has been phenomenal the last few weeks. Great. They're now up to 3rd ranked in DVOA. And as I'm sitting here, I think I'm talking myself into an underbet because this Pittsburgh Steelers team is now 8-2 to the under this season, and they're on a 3-game under streak. So I'm looking at playing this one under. But we could talk a little bit more about the side perhaps on Saturday.
I mean, the Steelers in the index are the pick, but they were the pick 2 weeks ago too. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously that was Rudolph under center, but
true.
I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, it's just my fear with the Steelers is Juju Smith-Schuster going to play? You know, James Conner didn't play last week. They've got lots of injuries at the skill positions, and Cleveland seems to be turning it around offensively, where even Odell Beckham got a touchdown, for God's sakes, you know? So
Let me ask you this, though. I mean, 2 weeks ago now, mm-hmm. what did that number close at? It was Cleveland -3.5 at home, right?
That sounds about right.
Three and a half. It looks like here it closed at 3 according to team rankings. So now mm-hmm. we're flipping back to Pittsburgh, and you're looking, which should be a 6-point move. And if you're just looking at home field advantage, 3 on each side. So mm-hmm. you would expect to see Pittsburgh -3, but instead right now this number is Cleveland -1. So that's a 4-point move in 2 weeks. Do you think that the Cleveland Browns have gotten 4 points better in 2 weeks, or Pittsburgh has gotten 4 points worse? I would argue that Pittsburgh is better now because Duck Hodges is under center and Noah Mason Rudolph. Yeah.
I'm buying you that jersey, bro. It's going to happen, man. You're getting that jersey in the mail. Send me your address. No, I understand what you're saying, but Pittsburgh can't score, man. And I mean, even if Duck's back there, but he hasn't put up big numbers. They've won games, but, and I love the Steelers defense. They're one of my fantasy defenses. They're incredible, but I don't know, man. Look, I'm not trying to root for Cleveland. I'm not rooting for your cousin and Mikey, because I kind of get pissed off at Odell Beckham and the gang, but they seem to have turned a corner. They seem to be playing better football, and obviously they're destroying teams that are bad, and then mm-hmm. they kind of manhandled Pittsburgh the other day, like a couple weeks ago, right? I mean, it wasn't that close. They won by a score, like a touchdown, but it didn't look like Pittsburgh could do a damn thing. So I don't know if it's really a matter. I guess Pouncey's back this week, theoretically, right?
No, his suspension got reduced to 2 games, so he should be out this week, so. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd still be on Cleveland this one, pal. We can agree to disagree, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I'll add a note here. We can talk about it a little bit more Saturday, but I think I talked myself more into liking Pittsburgh.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, well, the next one is Tampa against Jacksonville. Jacksonville's a 1-point favorite at home. This is another bedeviling team that we could never get right in Jacksonville, or Tampa for that matter.
Yeah.
Let's just take a look at the index, shall we?
Sure.
It looks like the Bucs are better in the index, but these teams are super close. I mean, it's virtually close. So this line is probably a little bit too much for Tampa, but I don't know if I can back Jacksonville ever.
Yeah. Nick Foles just clearly doesn't look like the same quarterback that he did in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Another really poor performance. They just got destroyed by Tennessee, and I don't think anyone was watching because everyone was on that Patriots game.
That's right.
But I agree with you. I think that here it's got to be Tampa Bay or pass. I have no interest in backing Jacksonville either. I think you could probably talk me into a bet on Jameis this week, though.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to throw interceptions. I mean, he's going to lead the league in interceptions, but he also is going to throw 3 touchdowns and 350 yards. I mean, that's what he does. So even that one, did you see the throw he made to Godwin? Was like right down the middle. Should have been picked. He just threaded the needle and the guy went the distance. But
no, I missed it.
Yeah. Okay, next game is Green Bay against the Giants. The Giants are at home. They are getting 6 points at home. The Packers got embarrassed on national television, and they can't apparently win a game on the West Coast. But I kind of like the Pack in this game. I think the Giants just really suck. And 6 points, kind of a lot for a road game for sure. But this Giants team is, I think they're third to last in the WEGS index here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm in full agreement on this one. I think this is a clear buy low spot for the Packers coming off that pitiful performance against San Francisco last weekend. And they certainly have a lot of edges in this one, especially when you look at their passing attack going up against that opponent, number 31 ranked New York Giants pass defense. So I agree with you. I think we could go with Aaron Rodgers in the Pack here.
Yeah, they got to bounce back. I mean, they got to stay ahead of Minnesota, too. They have to win the game, so. The next game is another lovely game on this slate. The Jets, the Bengals, right? The Bengals are getting 3.5 points at home. Haven't won a game. They're going back to Andy Dalton. Mm-hmm. The Jets actually are playing a little bit better. I got to stay away from this one, but I would probably go on the Cincinnati side purely on the fact that I don't think they're going to go 0-16.
Yeah, well, they don't even have to win this game to cover if they're catching 3.5 points. I do mm-hmm. think that there's probably some value there with the home underdog. You certainly are getting value anytime you look at a winless football team. And right. I was on Cincinnati last week. I got 6.5, was thankful to get to the window by the hook there. And I agree. If we're looking at this one, it's got to be the Bengals, especially with Andy Dalton come back. You got to figure that they're going to get a little jolt of energy from their quarterback returning to the center.
Exactly. They have a two-game lead on the number one pick, so they can still win one and still get the number one pick. Okay, the next one is Philadelphia going to Miami. Miami, as you predicted, they got their couple of wins and they're done, apparently. They're getting crushed the last couple of weeks. They're playing Philadelphia. Philadelphia has a very small chance at the playoffs. They have to win a lot of games to catch up on Dallas and win head-to-head against them. 9 points, a lot of points for this Philadelphia team, but Miami stinks. So would you even approach this game at all?
Yeah, I think that you could probably find some value on Philadelphia here, even on the road. This is an offense that's certainly capable of putting up a lot of points, although they couldn't show it against Seattle last week.
Right.
I do think that Miami is starting to look at their season go down the tank here, and I imagine that they'll have another poor performance. So I think we could consider Philadelphia. May want to look at the numbers a little bit more detail, though, before we lock this one in.
Okay. The next one is a huge marquee game. San Francisco is traveling to Baltimore, going to the East Coast in the 1 o'clock spot, Eastern time. And these are arguably the two best teams in the NFL, according to the index and probably DVOA. But Baltimore, huge favorite, 5.5 points here, mainly by virtue of they're just annihilating the universe right now. So the value would clearly be on the Niners, but can you go against this Baltimore team right now?
Oh, man. I kind of want to. This number is way, way too inflated.
It is.
I mean, San Francisco has been playing well, and you just saw them go out and handle a pretty good Green Bay team at home. And now you've got Baltimore coming off of a short week, Monday Night Football, and they're heading back home to a 1 p.m. Eastern time slot game early. And I think that they may look at this one as a chance to catch their breath a little bit, considering San Francisco is an NFC opponent.
Right.
And I got to agree that if you're looking at this game, it's San Francisco or pass. Do you think you can do it?
I might be able to. I mean, you know, it's just kind of a handicap in terms of defensive lines. Like, what's like, you kind of look at it, the Ravens are killing everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mainly because obviously Lamar Jackson is insane, right? The guy's completely elusive. Nobody can get this guy down. But the best defensive line, I think the best defensive line in the league is San Francisco. They've got the best defensive line. So this would be the one opportunity to bottle him up a little bit, or at least put him on the ground a few times, and also slow down that run game. I still think you try, even though Houston wasn't successful, to try to make, you know, Jackson a pocket passer and drop back and throw the ball 30 times instead of just his super efficient, you know, 17 for 20 with 5 touchdowns, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And on the flip side, you know, Baltimore's defense has played much better, and that's why they're being so much better, you know, in all the metrics now. San Francisco, the real question for me to back San Francisco, can you back Jimmy G on the road? Because I don't know if that run game is going to – I mean, it will travel, but will it be able to stack up against the Ravens? That's my only caveat for not taking San Francisco. I mean, I could definitely be talked into it, but that's my one fear is, can Jimmy G get it done? I mean, Kittle coming back really helped that offense for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you do look at the numbers here, and Baltimore's defense now ranked third against the pass.
Mm-hmm.
So that definitely is something that I think would draw my attention. As well as on the other side, you talk about the San Francisco defensive line being stout. They're actually only 16th ranked against the rush. So definitely gives me a little pause for concern there. Defending that Baltimore Ravens rushing attack is certainly no easy task.
For sure. Well, we can revisit on Saturday. I mean, it's nice to be in some of those marquee games.
Yeah.
Not as marquee of a game. The Rams go to Arizona. The Rams got de-pantsed on national television last night. And they get to play Arizona, who's, you know, they got a couple wins early. They're not playing so great. Kyler Murray's been, you know, very good, really. But I'm not sure what to make of this Rams team. I mean, Jared Goff stinks. They're not running the football. It appears that the Rams offense has been figured out by good teams, but Arizona's not a good team. So would you back the 3 points on the road with the Rams?
I like the Cardinals here. I grabbed 4 yesterday on open. Okay. And I think that this Arizona team is certainly capable of covering against this division foe. in the LA Rams. And I think it really just comes down to the handicapping spot. You've got an LA team who is on the verge of missing the playoffs. Yep. And Arizona on the flip side is coming off of a bye week. And I'm hopeful that they'll come out and perform well at home. I don't know if you think that you could get to the window with them.
I don't know if I could put the contest pick on it. I mean, we're playing for 143 grand here now.
True. That's true.
But I hear you. I mean, Arizona's covered in spots where we didn't think they would, for sure. But I don't know, man. I mean, both these teams, just don't excite me at all. So personally, I would pass.
I'm okay with putting it on the pass list.
Mm-hmm. Next one, kind of a bedeviling game. The Chargers against Denver. The Chargers as well, another road favorite in the division against Denver at 3 points. Denver laid an egg for us in Buffalo, but they've played pretty well overall, at least keeping numbers close. And this Chargers team, obviously I was big on them in the preseason until those injuries. It's just tough to watch them. I mean, Phillip Rivers stinks, and they can run the ball, but Denver, last week I thought they could stop the run. They couldn't stop against Buffalo. So I'd back Denver here, but I don't really know if I can do that in the contest.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that in this game, it's got to be Denver pass. Phillip Rivers certainly looks over the hill and has no reason to be a starting quarterback in this league. And he's facing off against a really good Denver defense.
Mm-hmm.
They're ranked 12th in Football Outsiders, but they are certainly performing above that water level and very good against the rush as well, which I think they can help bottle up Melvin Gordon. And I do agree with you, though. I think this may be a little bit less strong of a pick than some of the others that we've talked about.
Right, exactly. Okay, intriguing game in the AFC West as well. This is a big game for the standings. Oakland goes to Kansas City. Kansas City has been lackluster this season for the most part, especially on defense. Oakland, as you called it, completely laid an egg against the Jets. They did not show up. They are getting 10 points on the road at Kansas City. Seems like a big number to me, even though Oakland, I wasn't a believer in early in the season. They played better in most games except for last week. What do you think about the Chiefs against Oakland?
Oh, man, I think that I would look to lay the 10 points here.
Yeah.
Kansas City is on a mission to win the division, and I think you're finally seeing all the travel catch up to this Oakland team. They've mm-hmm. been jet-setting all over the world,
sure.
And now I think that their legs are getting a little bit heavy. It was a pretty poor performance on Sunday in New York, and I'm not sure that they're going to be able to hang with Kansas City. I already saw the Chiefs go into Oakland and beat them handily in Week 2,
mm-hmm.
so I have no reason to believe they can't replicate that.
And your pass defense on Oakland is terrible. I know that. And that's obviously factors into Kansas City's game. They might get Tyreek Hill back. He's questionable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I might be able to get on board with that. Divisional games, 10 points is tough, you know?
You got to figure that Tyreek Hill is going to be out there this week after the bye. And this game could wrap up the division for them with a victory.
Yeah, it knocks them out for sure. The next game is New England against Houston. Houston are 3.5-point dogs at home. Obviously, the Patriots, won a tough game against the Cowboys in horrible conditions. Didn't cover the number, but did what they needed to do. I don't know if you saw. I was watching the coverage on CBS with Gronk. Did you see that at all?
Yeah.
So funny. It was like, oh, in Dallas, they just go, if it starts raining, they go into Jerry Jones says, let's go inside the bubble. That's really funny. That was classic television. And he couldn't find the monitor. I don't know if you ever, he couldn't find the camera. He kept looking.
Oh, I missed that part. I had it on mute, to be honest with you.
Yeah. But I know you won't like this spot, but I like New England in the spot. 3.5.
Yeah.
So I know you probably like Houston.
No, I don't, but I've seen a ton of money come in on Houston already. This line has gone down from 3.5 to 3.
Oh, good.
Which is a pretty large signal to me that a lot of professional bettors like them as well.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that they're going to have a pretty hard time protecting Deshaun Watson, though. This New England defense and their pass rush is certainly capable of getting after him. And then you've got that secondary back there who is certainly best in the league,
mm-hmm.
without a doubt. So I think that this is going to be a pretty low-scoring game, and I like the under personally, but I'm not sure that I really want to back New England here in the contest.
Okay.
Although I think it's something that we could consider if it comes out at a flat three.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at three on BetOnline. We'll see what it comes out at tomorrow. There is heavy juice on that three. And you're right, the total 45 seems not possible. I mean, New England's not scoring. But Houston, you know, this team kind of baffles me a little bit. One week they obviously get annihilated at Baltimore, and then they play okay at the Colts. They're kind of doing a little bit what they did last year, smoke and mirrors to win some games. And New England, the only thing about the number is that they don't care about the numbers, so they're just going to come in and they're going to get out whether they win by 1 point or 20 points at this point. They're definitely not going to be like the old Patriots that would come and just annihilate teams offensively. They just can't seem to get it going. I mean, they really needed that punt block to score a touchdown against Dallas, so I can see why it's tough to cover that number. I do like New England in this game.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was a tough spot in terms of the weather for that New England offense, and I did see that Brady and N'Keal Harry seem to have a little bit of a connection early on. Recall, this is only his second game this season.
Yeah.
So if you add into the fact that Belichick seemingly has Bill O'Brien's number as well, I think that it would be hard-pressed for Houston to win this game. It's just a matter of whether or not you think they can cover that, Trey.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, well, the last one is Minnesota at Seattle. Minnesota is getting 3 points on the road. Seattle has been phenomenal on the road, 6-0. Russell Wilson is amazing. If it wasn't for Lamar Jackson, they would already be giving Russell Wilson the award for MVP. So he's been incredible. And I've been on record that I think he has an amazing wife. I like Minnesota in this spot, dude. Seattle, for some reason, can't cover at home. I don't know why. They get home, they had this great home field advantage back in the day. Now they can't do it. As good as Wilson's been, Minnesota is going to come off the bye, and I think they're going to have something for him in this game, and they may actually beat this team. So I'm on Minnesota in this game.
Yeah, I think that is definitely the side I would favor as well. Minnesota is certainly going to have a huge advantage running the ball. They're number 10 in yards per rush, and you've got Seattle defense, which is in the bottom third of the league in opponent yards per rush. So I expect that Minnesota will get back to the basics, and you know that the coach loves to run the football. So I expect you're going to see a lot of Dalvin Cook in this game, and would tend to a lower scoring game. And I think that Minnesota coming off the bye certainly gives them an advantage here, looking to lock up their berth in the NFC playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So a full field goal would be nice, but I am expecting this one may tick down to 2.5 by contest open.
Yeah, exactly. I could see that. Okay, well, we've got some solid picks. A lot of, you know, we'll see. Just to review my index picks this week, I do have the Patriots at -3 against Houston. At Houston, I have the Bears. I guess they're -3 at Detroit now. Bills +7 at Dallas. The Vikings +3 at Seattle. And the Titans +2.5 at Indy. Those are the index picks, not necessarily mine that we're going to make the contest, but trying to get back on track action.
I think at least a few of those we were in agreement on. Mm-hmm. So I also think, just looking at this quick list here, our highlights, that we could probably forego the Thursday games if you're on board with that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, we don't want to lock in too early, especially, you know, if Tyreek Hill is going to play, that's going to impact the Chiefs line, stuff like that. So
no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. All right, buddy. Well, that's another episode of the Side Action Podcast. We want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving this week. And hopefully, besides turkey, you get some bets in whatever fashion you can. And whether that be on the college level for football, basketball, or pro. So we've only got a couple more weeks of college football until the bowls start. And then we'll start transitioning to college basketball as we finish out pro football.
Yeah, this is probably one of the heaviest weeks of the sports betting calendar. You've got all four major sports going, well, excluding baseball, not major sport, but
right.
College basketball fills in there too, and you've got a whole slate of college hoops pretty much going on throughout every day, 11 a.m. to like 1 a.m. Eastern time. So it's a joyous time, along with all the food on Thanksgiving Day.
That's right. Don't eat too much action. I know you're watching your carbs, so watch that pumpkin pie, buddy.
Yeah, I'll be on the golf course a little bit this weekend down in North Carolina.
Oh, so. Yeah? Gonna hit the links, huh?
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Excellent. Well, I will be here in Chicago lovely rainy Chicago. I will be playing in a turkey bowl with my cousin Tommy and that side of the family. So hopefully I'll get a good warm up in. No major injuries. And then my Aunt Eileen is hosting. She's legendary for her sweets. So looking forward to some delectable, you know, pumpkin pie and cookies and such. So
nice. Definitely time to indulge.
That's right. And then I'll get back to more restrictive diets. All right, everybody. Well, thanks. Follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. Follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Later. That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.